Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs today, Proverb 31 is where our text will be. Proverbs 31, and we're going to read verses 25 through 31 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 25 through 31 this morning. As you're finding your place this morning, in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together? Proverbs, that's Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 25. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful passage about many, many women that are in this room this morning. And Father, we pray that from the preaching of this passage this morning, we'll increase that number. Thank you so much for our mothers. I pray today that you're doing a work in our hearts that helps not only the mothers, but the men, the women, and the children in this room. And Father, help it begin with me. Father, we ask for this to be accomplished, that you would anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him to help us today. And then, Father, most important, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray before they leave this room today, they would settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, make sure your cell phone or electronic device is turned off. It does not go off during the service. We would appreciate that tremendously. Now I'm going to ask you also to sit still and listen. Now, listen, folks, listen. When you come to church, you sit in a church service like this. We sit here for about 25, 30 minutes, and then we'll dismiss. So whatever it is you need to do, you can just wait until it's over, would you please? And just sit and listen very carefully. We understand if there's a medical reason that you need to get up, that's fine. But other than that, sit and listen, would you? Mother's Day. Anna Mae Jarvis is the young lady who instituted Mother's Day. Her mother, she was named after her mother. Her mom was a lady who, just after the Civil War, did a lot to try and help moms adjust to the fact that their sons had died in the Civil War. So she had some special mother functions for them to help kind of put things together. Get him a chair, guys. Dan, Brother Voiles, get these guys chairs, please. They need to sit down. Thank you. Give them, they're right there. There we go. So Anna Mae Jarvis, the daughter, saw her mom organize mother's special functions to help those families adjust the fact that they lost their sons in the Civil War. And Anna Mae Jarvis loved her mom. When her mother passed away, she wanted to do something to honor her mom. So she went to her pastor. This is in West Virginia. She said, Pastor, could we have a special day for moms? Just Mother's Day, just something to honor mom. The pastor said, it's a good idea, so they did. Then she thought, you know, this is so wonderful, we ought to have this, this ought to be bigger than just this. And so what did she do? She said, she decided then she would go to a mayor of her city, and she got the mayor, and she said, could we declare a national day of Mother's Day here in our city? And he said, it's a good idea. She went from her mayor to her governor to President Woodrow Wilson, 1914. And petitioned him to have a national day of Mother's Day. And the second Sunday of May, Wilson declared that will be a day for mothers. And we'll have a national Mother's Day. Anna Mae Jarvis was so excited about this because she thought now all moms will be honored. And she saw it turned into a commercial thing. More gift cards, greeting cards will be sold for Mother's Day than any other time of the year. That's not bad. It's okay. She felt like it was kind of losing its purpose to honor mom because it had become too commercialized. So then Anna Mae Jarvis, who went all this trouble to institute Mother's Day, then spent the rest of her life trying to teach people that it's just about mom. It's for mom. Do something special for your mom. And Anna Mae Jarvis never married. She never had children, and she never got to see Mother's Day for herself. It's a day for mom. I haven't in some years preached a message here I've done a couple of times before called The Sin of Mother's Day. And the only sin of Mother's Day is she gets one day out of the year. One day out of the year she gets flowers. One day out of the year she gets recognition, just that one day. That's the only thing that's wrong with Mother's Day. In Proverbs chapter 31, Solomon is king, and he's talking about his mother here. Look in your Bibles in Proverbs 31, please. He starts with the statement in verse number 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And then from verse 10 to verse 31, he talks about her. So how do you know he's talking about his mother? Look at verse number 1, Proverbs 31. "The words of King Lemuel," that was another name for Solomon, "the prophecy that his mother taught him." Solomon's, the best preacher in Solomon's life was his mom. Probably the best preacher in your life was your mother. So this virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, this is Solomon's mother. Solomon's mother, if you know your Bible, was Bathsheba. And he's talking about this virtuous woman who had raised him. And in those verses, verse 10 to verse number 31 there, Solomon lists all these things that he saw his virtuous woman mom do in her life. I'm going to take one little excerpt from those statements. It's down there in verse number 29. And he gets almost to the conclusion of this accolade of his mother, and he says this, "Many daughters have done virtuously," and here's the statement for this morning, "but thou excellest them all." He said, "Mom, there's nobody like you." Excel. It means to rise above the normal. Excel. It means to exceed what everyone else does. Excellence. You know, you don't see a lot of excellence in things nowadays, you know, but the truth is, Solomon saw that in his mom. He said, "Thou excellest them all." Some of us today, our mom's in heaven. I was thinking about my mom this morning. We didn't have a close relationship, my mother and I, because of the divorce situation and life changes that she had made and things. And I was thinking about it today. She is watching me preach from heaven. My mother is in heaven. She knew Christ as her Savior. I was thinking about all of you that have moms here in heaven. The old days on Mother's Day, ladies wore corsages, you remember? And the white corsage was when mom was in heaven. And the other corsages of different colors was your mom was still with you. None of us are going to have a perfect mom. No mom will be a perfect mom. But I would hope today, and the message is pretty much geared to the moms this morning, though there's always something here for everybody, I guarantee you we'll get a few in there. "But thou excellest them all." How does a mother become an excellent mother? Not a perfect mother, but an excellent mother. "Thou excellest them all." A couple of things here for you this morning, mom, to consider. Number one is she does pass on her faith. I didn't say she passes it. I said she passes it on. That's what he meant in verse number one. He said, "My mother," again, look at the verse. He said, "the prophecy that my mother," the prophecy that his mother taught him, preached to. Yeah, our moms preached to us. Their stuff was always, by the way, it wasn't always accurate. You remember that? There were things they told us as kids, and I was read some of it to my Sunday school class this morning. Remember when you'd goof around as a kid and you'd cross your eyes and your mom would say, "Keep doing that, they're going to stick like that," which is not true. It was mom who kept you out of the swimming pool after you ate lunch. for at least an hour. Because, you know, you're right there. If you got cramps from eating when you jumped in, they could have jumped in and pulled you out. Only to find out many years later, that doesn't happen. And I'm telling you now, I'm suing whoever started that, because I lost hours upon hours as a kid sitting by the swimming pool going, what time is it? What time is it? It's not time. I'll tell you when it is. It's amazing how our moms prophesied to us about washing behind your ears. And I always thought, nobody can look back there. You got bushy hair. It was the 60s. You'd never know. They had all these prophecies that they had, things that they preached to us, declared. Bathsheba did pass her faith on to her son Solomon. Now, tell us them all, Mom, when you pass your faith along. I do hope that you do that. We do understand today that one of the great deteriorations of our society is there is a breakdown between parents and their children, and parents teaching their children what they should know, believe, and do. Unfortunately, some of it has to do with the junk that's coming out of psychiatry and psychology, that you're supposed to let kids figure it out on their own. That's the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my life. No parent takes their child over here on I-5 to teach them about semi-trucks by turning them loose on the freeway so they can figure it out for themselves. No parent does things like that, because we know how foolish that is. Why in the world would we want to pass on our faith, what we believe? It's amazing how that can stick with us when we're young. My parents had divorced, and so for a good portion of my childhood, I was raised by my grandparents. They're watching me from heaven this morning also. And it was my grandmother, Sue Often, who taught me the simple faith that she had in her life, what she believed and why she believed it. And by the way, she wasn't a theologian. She didn't break it down according to the historicity of it all. And she didn't teach me about ecclesiology and eschatology and all those other ologies. All she told me was she'd take her King James Bible, pat it with her hand like that, and point at me and say, Michael Ray, if someone can't prove to me from this book what they believe, I will not believe it, and don't you do it either. Pretty simple, pretty short sermon. Stuck with me all these years. Now, after all these years and college training and an adjunct college professor and an honorary doctorate degree and pastoring for 30 some odd years, I still come down to one simple principle. If you can't prove it to me by the book, I'm not going to believe it. That's good preaching, Ma. Good preaching, Grandma. Good stuff. Pass it on. Oh, by the way, Mom, you are passing on your faith. So I don't teach my children anything. Then that's what you're teaching them. You're teaching them nothing. You're teaching them it's not that important to you. Now listen, ladies, please. And by the way, this is one of those we all get a shot at this morning. You show them indifference to the things of God, what do you expect them to believe? Children do have a natural respect for their parents. They do. And they naturally respect that which we respect. They naturally think that what's important of what we think is important. So consequently, if we show indifference to the things of God, why do we expect them to show anything different than that? Well, yeah, we go to church every now and then. We got a little more, yeah, we believe in God. Okay, then that's what you're going to get. And by the way, every generation naturally weakens what they received from the previous generation. That's true not only in matters of faith, it's true in matters of character and training, upbringing, all that sort of stuff. It naturally weakens generation by generation. So we are teaching them something, Mom. You too, Dad. Thou excellest them all. Did Bathsheba raise a perfect son in Solomon? No, she did not. But did he know who God was? Did he have a faith that came from her? Yes, he did, because of the prophecy his mother had taught him. Thou excellest them all. She passed on her faith. That's what's an excellent mom. Number two, she overcomes her past. Bathsheba had a past. Don't we all? I'm sorry, is that not working this morning? I said, don't we all? Yes, we do. Do we not? We know what Bathsheba was. We know what happened with Bathsheba in her life. She was not a perfect woman. No mother's a perfect woman. No man's a perfect man. But now listen to me. Somewhere in her life, after her sin with David, Bathsheba did get it right in her life. You do understand how you overcome your past, don't you? You stop living like your past. You stop living like the past that you had that was no good. We got too many people today who continue to ruin their present and destroy their future and the future of others, by the way, because of their past. They have a past. They have something they did they shouldn't have done. They have something in their life that shouldn't have been there. They did something they should not do. But the problem is they continue to do the same sort of things in their life. Somewhere along the way, Bathsheba put the sin of David behind her and that adultery they committed. Somewhere along her life, she put that away and she went on with her life. But she went on with her life for God. A mother who excels them all will never be able to present a perfect life, but she can present, listen, a good life and one that was better than it was. Okay, so I'm not what I ought to be, but by the grace of God, I'm not what I was either. Somehow or another, we've condemned ourselves to a past, to a present that's no good because our past was not right. Bathsheba got past this. She put her past behind her, and she went on for God with her life. And she gave her son a good chance to have a life that could be right, because she was right. The sin of Bathsheba and David was the sin of adultery, but that did not take place while Solomon was alive. He never knew that personally. He never saw it in his life. He never saw the failure of it. He never saw the mistakes of it. Not one more time, ladies, please. And I know some moms today, they labor under the burden of, oh my goodness, because of what I've done in my past, I could never do anything for God with my life today. No, that's not true. That's the wonderful thing about salvation. Salvation wipes the record slate clean before Almighty God and makes you a new creature in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God wipes that clean in justification, saves a person's soul, gives them a new chance and a new start. And you know something? Everybody needs that in their life. That's for men, women, children, anybody this morning. She overcame her past. Get your past where it belongs, behind you. Get the grace of God all upon you and go forward in your life. Now, I hesitate to say this morning, but the reason my mother and I did not have a close relationship in our lives was because she refused to let her past go. Now, I don't mean she struggled with her past. I mean she just continued to live the way she lived when we were kids. So, yeah, so you're too holy for your mother. No, that wasn't the issue. I did not want my children to see that. Did that mean I didn't love my mother? Of course I did. But she wouldn't keep her past where it belonged. And whenever I take my family there, they begin to see what my childhood was like, and I didn't want to see it again, and I never wanted them to know what that was. So you forsook your mother. No, I didn't. I just told her, I said, Mom, if you'll get some things straightened out, I want my children to know you. My mom was a funny lady. She had a great sense of humor. She's a very intelligent woman. And she was, there were just a lot of things about my mom that was really good and really right. But every time I'd go to see her, most of the time I'd go see her by myself. And every time I would go to see her, I wouldn't even be there 10 minutes before I'd go right back to my childhood again and see the same things that were there from her life. And there was no reason for that then. See, I don't agree with that, Pastor Johnson. That's fine. I wanted to put my past behind me, and she wouldn't let it go. And for my children's sake, they would never see that. Thou excellest them all also because a mom builds the lives of those who are around her. From verse 10 to verse 31, it lists 15 things that she does, this virtuous woman. 15 things. And it encompasses all sorts of things. Everything from how she cared for her household, her husband and his life and her children and their life, what she did for herself. She strengthened her arms, the Bible said. Does that mean she went to the gym and pumped iron? I don't think so. But it does mean that she did things for herself, for her family. She built the lives of those who are around her. And by the way, if you read those verses, it also talks about how she bought and sold land and how she got involved with things. This was a balanced woman in her life in the sense that every life that was around, that touched her life, she built that life. She helped to do something to make that life a better life. Now, to society today, that makes you a first-degree loser. You spend your life trying to help those who are around you, invest in your husband, invest in your children, invest in your grandchildren, invest in people's lives and serve and help and work and build people who are around you and build their lives up instead of build yourself up to the world while you're just wasting your time. You're nothing but a slave. And there's not one mention of this whole concept here of this virtuous woman that somehow or another she was nothing but a slave to everybody else's wishes. See, she had the idea, if I build their life, then her expectations were always to make somebody else's life better. There's something about moms. They have this idea. They just want the lives of those who are around them to be better lives. Society is trying to change that now where you got to just concentrate on yourself and be concerned about yourself. And then we got a bunch of selfish people in this world. When I was in Bible college, and I think I mentioned this before, I worked in a ministry that reached young people in juvenile hall. One young man that we visited there asked us to go and visit his mom. And he said, now she lives in Calumet City. It was a little town right next to Hammond, Indiana, where the church was. He said, now my mom, he said, she can't come and see me. She's got a record and there's some issues that she can't, if she came, they'd hold her. So she can't come and visit me. And she wants to know how I am. I've called her a few times. He said, would you please go see my mom? I said, well, sure, give me her address. He fills out her address on a little piece of paper. And he says, now I got to tell you something. He said, my mom is a prostitute. He said, her little house is jammed between two bars in Calumet City. He goes, so I just want you to know in advance, that's her life. Took a buddy of mine there, and we went to visit the house. We walked up to the front door, and the porch in the front part of this little bitty house was all caved in, and you could see through the little glass in the doorway there, the living room floor was caved in. And we stood kind of back on the porch and looked in there. Nobody obviously was in there. And we stepped back, and I looked around the corner of the house, and you could see a little light on the corner of the side of the house down there. We walked over, and we knocked on the door, and she opened the door, and she says, what can I do for you, fellas? I said, we're from the Lake County Juvenile Hall. I forgot the boy's name now. I'll call him Larry. He said, Larry asked us to come and see you. She goes, thank you for coming very much. She goes, but this is probably not a place you would want to be. I said, I have a friend with me. Larry just wanted us to check on you. She said, tell you what, just come in for a moment. And we walked in. We sat down a couple of little broken type little couch chair things that were there. This lady was very embarrassed. I don't know if she knew that we knew what her lifestyle was. We began to tell her about her son. He said, your son's been coming to the services. He's trying to get his life together. And she just broke down and wept. And she said, please, Pastor. She didn't know I was just a Bible college student. She said, please, Pastor, help my son. She said, my life is not where it ought to be, and I'm not living the way I ought to live, but I want my son to do right. I want him to do well. Well, then she should have got her life right, Pastor Johnson. Well, then we can talk about that for a moment. All I'm trying to draw is the illustration of even in a life like that, she still wanted those around her to do better. I'm sorry the world's given some of you the idea that the only way to succeed in life is to make something out of yourself. Got a bunch of people whose life is about that big, ladies and gentlemen. You understand that? About that big. And they are the center of their little universe. How tragic and how sad. Don't ever let anybody make you feel like you're not what you ought to be because you're not everything you want to be. But when you build the lives of others, you've just done something that's great in life. Thou excellest them all, and everything he lists this virtuous woman does is building the lives of others who are around her. That's a good concept to live by. Thou excellest them all also because she got to see her life and her labor rewarded. Look in your Bibles in verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her children arise up and call her blessed, the Bible says. Okay, how many of you have a mom this morning? Raise your hand, please. You have a mother? I say, well, Pastor, come on. Some of you don't, apparently. Let's try that one more time. I said, how many of you have a mother this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, good. Now, then you should find reason to give praise to your mother. First of all, tell her. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Tell her. And more than just Mother's Day with a little card and a flower that you bought at 7-Eleven, tell her. Tell your mother. Tell her how much you appreciate her for who she is and what she does. And if she goes to heaven on you and you can't tell her in heaven anymore, then tell her by how you live your life. Her children arise up. They get up past their stuff. They arise up and call her blessed. They're blessed by the life of their mom. I can't tell you my mother was perfect, but I can tell you she was never lazy. I never knew her to be dishonest. I'll tell you something about my mom. She is a drunk. She spent her life on liquor and that kind of stuff. I know that, but she went to work every day. And I'll tell you something about my mom. She did her best to try to provide for us. I know that. There's things about my mother I want to praise rather than say about what her failures would be in her life. But mom, look at me carefully. You do want to live long enough to see your children rise up. Verse number 28, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Get with it, partner. Get with the program. Some little mousy card every year and then go on ignoring your wife is not the way it works. Her husband also. Notice it doesn't say her son, it says her husband. So you're the husband of a good mom, you need to let her know that she's a good mom. I said, if you're the husband of a mom and she's a good mom, you need to let her know that. Thank you. Wake up, please. Some of you guys, I don't care how many times I prime the pump, you're always two pumps behind, man. Get with the program. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Doesn't say he praises her on Mother's Day, said he praises her. Doesn't say he praises her on the anniversary, said he praises her. Doesn't say he praises her on a birthday, said he praises her. He has an attitude and a habit of realizing when you're married to a wonderful wife who is also a good mother, you need to let her know that. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, I want to live long enough to see that. My husband. Verse number 29. Do you see what it says here quickly now? Many daughters have done virtually, but thou excellest them all. That is our text today. Who's this that says she's excelling them all? That's God. Hey, mom, is that enough? You go to bed, you pillow your head at night, long, busy day. Is that enough that you know you did your best that day and that your God is pleased with you? Is that enough? Because sometimes that's all you're going to get. The kids are not going to praise you. Your husband's not going to pay attention. No one's going to pat you on the back. And the flowers you got today, you better dip them in concrete because that's probably going to be about it for a while. And sometimes it's just not going to come around. Now, is it, Mom? But now listen, Mom, when you go to bed at night and you pillow your head and you did your best, you know that the God of heaven looks down and says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You did your best today and God is pleased. He always notices and he is always pleased. Is that okay with you? I hope so. In verse number 31, here's her testimony before others. Verse 30, favors deceitful beauty is vain. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Her testimony praises her. It's kind of sad, isn't it? Some of us, we have those women in our lives when we were growing up, especially as kids, who are our adopted mom. Huh? She was the one who did all this stuff for you in the neighborhood, always helped you out, that adopted mom. It's always interesting how some kids, they're more excited about their adopted mother than they are about their own biological. Boy, she did so much stuff for me. Yeah, what'd your mom do? Feed you Alpo and make you sleep in the garage? But how about your testimony before others? And Do you live the way you're supposed to live and do what you do for others in your life as a good testimony of what God's done in your life, or so you get an attagirl and a pat on your back? But your testimony should be before others. You'll live long enough to see that too. And then it says in verse 31, she sees the fruit of her hand. Let her see the fruit of her hands and enjoy the... Well, then she will. Mom, then she will. It's interesting. I don't know if people are still doing it now, but there was a day when mom kept just about everything anybody ever made for her and gave her. Huh? There was a day when they did stuff like that. I mean, all the pictures that were colored, all the little stuff that you made, all the, you know, you make them an ashtray out of clay and she doesn't even smoke and she keeps that thing. They keep all this stuff, and then when they go to heaven, you go through their stuff, and it's you think, oh, I can believe they even kept that stuff. But they did, and they see the reward of their hands. It's not only what you have done, but they remember they recognize what you have done by acknowledging them in life. That's good stuff now. No, our children won't be perfect because we weren't perfect in raising them. But there'll be times. There'll be times when you'll see your children in their lives, and as they grow and get older, and as they grow up, there'll be times when you get to see a little bit of yourself in their life. That's good. And there'll be times when you'll think, you know, it was worth praying for them. I'm glad I never gave up on them. I'm glad I taught them what was right. I'm glad I gave them a consistent testimony in life to follow. You know something? You get to see the reward of the fruit of your own hands if you just stay at it because you excel them all. Now, for some people, that's too long away. That's too far away. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor Johns, your time. I mean, I can't really see it now. And thereafter, you got a child that's sideways, a boy or a girl that's sideways. You think, I'm never going to see that in their life. And no, you never say never. You're looking at a prodigal pastor here this morning who got sideways with his God. People who loved me, prayed for me, stayed faithful, and helped me in my life, saw me come back to God. So yes, you can. Thou excellest them all, one notch above the rest. Please don't get that from the world. Let's get that from what God says is a virtuous woman. And let's take that in our own lives and follow the example of what God says is approved and what is right. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.